Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back, and the Denver Nuggets have completed the sweep. They got their brooms out and swept away the dusty old Lakers. And meanwhile, the Celtics... I'm sorry, I felt like we were exposed a little bit, okay? I'm not going to lie here. Meanwhile, the Celtics, they managed to avoid getting swept and forced a Game 5, which, by the time you're hearing this, will be happening later today. And we'll discuss the utter dominance of Jokic, along with the healthy Jamal Murray, as well as the Heat and Celtics, and more with ESPN NBA reporter Izzy Gutierrez on today's episode. I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties.
He's perfectly in sync, as always.
3-on-1, Davis, Bob, LeBron!
There you go.
Embiid driving, spinning, fading, hitting!
Curry, a three-pointer, bang! Steph Curry from downtown again!
Giannis with the take, uh-oh, look out. No showtime, what you got, Giannis?
Izzy, what's going on, man?
How's it going, guys?
Oh, we're great. I'm whatever. Like, it's going great. It's fine.
I mean, you're dropping a podcast called 4 Years of Heat,
yep.
Podcast at a time, like just perfectly in line. How did you get the NBA to script this so perfectly? Like turning the Eastern Conference Finals into a piece of sponsored content for your podcast is truly an impressive feat.
I would say, yeah. Look, whatever script writer is working here, like South Florida, he must have just visited. He or she must have just visited right. South Florida, because like we got a lot of good stuff going on down here. Like University of Miami made it to the final, FAU. I mean, they were one game away from playing each other for a national championship, which is crazy because you guys have no idea what FAU was before this year, right?
No. No,
and then you got the Panthers, of course. And so I don't know what kind of luck we got, because I never get this lucky. But yeah, just I started working on this podcast basically at the beginning of the year, thanks to iHeartRadio sort of reaching out and thinking of me for this possibility. And when I started working on it, the Heat were wildly frustrating. This year's Heat.
What?
As I continued working on it, the Heat were wildly frustrating. And as they got to the last couple of days of the regular season, we were actually wondering if you know, it might be a disaster. Like the Heat might not even make the playoffs, and it'll be like, why are they releasing this thing in the middle of this postseason? But I mean, the reason we're releasing is because it's 10 years from since that Ray Allen shot and that back-to-back championship. So it's an anniversary thing. It just so happens the Heat are making it really fortunate. But I don't know what kind of whatever juju, whatever mojo that Jimmy Butler's been carrying around. He didn't have it last week, but whatever he's been carrying around. But I thank him for it because this is just quite the perfect synergy for me.
Yeah. Right? I mean, yeah, it feels like even when they win, like in the Milwaukee series, everyone made that series about Milwaukee collapsing. Now everyone wants to make it about Boston collapsing. And it's just like, no, we're witnessing the Heat do something we've never really seen before, which is I keep thinking of this moment in the trailer for the new Fast and the Furious movie when Vin Diesel manages to like drive his car so hard that it like jumps and like it's just like through sheer effort and tyranny of will he's able to like drive a car harder. And like,
even though sounds like it could be the trailer for any of them,
right?
But I just should let you know that I haven't seen a single one of them. So yeah, I'm sorry about that.
But like, that's what it just feels like. Jimmy Butler was like, "All right, I'm gonna be like extra good at. I'm just gonna like concentrate real hard and like make threes now instead of missing them." And
well, I mean, that's people just when people don't understand what they're looking at, they just kind of go play the hits. And if you know more about the other team, you just talk about the other team. And right. I think the fact that Miami is doing this without people being able to explain it is a testament to, I think, Spoelstra primarily, because, you know, I don't think this team doesn't take the regular season seriously. I just think Eric Spoelstra, I mean, he certainly does, but I think he also is working through a lot of things during the regular season. He's working out what the best, like any team, any good coach would be. You know, you're not going to see what works in week one and stick with that the entire season, right? So he's, you know, working through some stuff. And when he says in the postseason, like, we were pretty close all season long, I don't think he's lying, even though the results say differently and, you know, watching them play says differently. But I don't think he's lying because I don't think this is a team that just keeps banging its head against the wall if it knows for a fact that it's not going to work. And so they were close. And, you know, when you get to the postseason, when you're preparing for the same team over and over again and not, you know, three teams in four nights, then you can really focus on a lot more things. And that's where this team becomes great. It's
right.
Those small details. I just did an ESPN Daily podcast with Kirk Goldsberry, who wrote a story about like what those finer details of like Heat culture, or whatever, what they actually translate to on the court. And it's like in the postseason, it's, you know, taking charges, it's deflections, it's loose balls recovered, it's screen assists. And, you know, the Heat lead the league in all of those by far in the postseason. And so they make everything so much more difficult for another team that maybe thinks, especially this year, because they're an eight seed, maybe thinks, hey, we're going to get the regular season version of this team. And they didn't get anything close to it. Now, Jimmy Butler, that one's different. That one's crazy because this dude doesn't not only not make these shots in the regular season, he doesn't take them. He doesn't take those 20-foot step backs. He doesn't take the threes, even if they leave him open. Unless Dwayne Wade's in the building, then he'll do anything. He'll go crazy. But he doesn't even take. In fact, like I get so annoyed watching him a lot of times during the regular season because he passes up shots. And I'm not talking like deep shots. I'm talking like by the rim. Like he'll fly by the rim. His head will be by the rim, and he's just looking the other way for a pass. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like it's the same guy who you know does the reverse jams, you know, on a dead ball just to show off his athleticism. Probably doesn't realize sometimes that he could actually. That he's actually at the rim and isn't going to get blocked. But I don't even think that's the case. I think he's just kind of, again, consuming the game and just learning everything around him and recognizing that every possession in the regular season is not the end of the world. And if I don't score this bucket, if I don't see that bucket or that available shot, then no big deal. I'll see it in the postseason. And so I think that is a guy who's just knows himself and is super confident in his abilities and doesn't have to show it off all the time or talk about it.
Right.
Unless it's the postseason.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what I identified in him as similar, just like supremely confident person who doesn't have to show it off or talk about it. Like I just identify
that's
with
you.
Him. So I saw him coming a mile away. But do you want to just brag last episode?
Yeah.
We recorded before game one.
Yeah.
I picked the Heat in the series. I said that like, just based on what we've watched up to this point in the playoffs, mm-hmm. like both from the Heat and from the Celtics kind of just being confusing and like at having some of the highest highs when the shot is falling. And as we saw in, you know, game four, they can still turn it on. But just a lot of variability and a lot of like just weird kind of lapses. But I don't know, as somebody who really follows the Heat, Izzy, were you surprised like by what you've seen in this series?
Well, first of all, it's funny you mentioned the predictions. In the preseason, I said to myself, you know what? Stop being a coward. Pick the team that you want to win versus the team that you'll think who's going to get there. And I said, the Heat's going to beat the Denver Nuggets.
Whoa.
It's on ESPN.com if you go through the archive. But in the postseason, having not even remembered that I picked a preseason champion, because it's kind of a weird deal to pick a both like a finalist from each conference in the preseason and whatever. You're never going to be right.
Yeah.
And so I totally forgot that I made that prediction and went on to pick against the Heat twice in this postseason, first against the Bucks and then against Celtics. I picked Celtics in seven, I think. And then I picked Lakers over the Nuggets because I let Bill Plaschke talk me into LeBron and AD aren't going to lose to anybody this postseason. So I switched that from Denver in seven to Lakers in seven. So I've been all wrong, but you know, I'm going to hang on to that preseason prediction.
Trust your heart. Yeah.
Well, the Celtics stuff is confusing to me. Cause like it always felt like this team was being held together, like by scotch tape. Like they didn't seem to get along. They didn't seem to have a great relationship even back with Brad Stevens necessarily. It just felt very much like principal and student relationships. You know, it wasn't really like a tight bond. It didn't feel like, you know, Jason or Jalen, they're both quiet. They don't really, not really vocal leaders. And then when you hear things kind of spill out like, hey, we got to pass the ball or, you know, people not being very happy with the way other people are playing without naming names, it feels like that has to be really bad for it to get out from this team. And so yeah. I felt like maybe things were really bad back then, but Ime just kind of fixed things in the middle of the season. And all of a sudden the winning, you know, cured all of that stuff.
Yeah.
This season, you get pretty much the same thing. They start off at the one seed for a good amount of time, kind of trickled out at the end and dropped to the two, but not really any issues to say that they have to address. They're all kind of like huddling up and making sure Missoula is going to be good all year. But they're good enough to where they don't have to face their major issues all season long. So you get to the postseason and those cracks start to show. Now, what do you do? Like they haven't, who do you turn to? Like, what is the rallying point? Like Ime, I think was very effective last year when things went south. Who knows? We didn't know how Joe was going to handle that. And Joe being 34, I don't think helps him. You know, it's nothing against him. He can't do anything about his age, but I don't think that helps him. And all those other warts and all those things about those guys, maybe not really loving each other. And I think there was a story of source saying that this team has been fake liking each other for a long time now. That kind of shows when you're around them, even for the short period of time. And I even think a guy like Grant Williams is a great example because I think he's what they all want to be. Like in terms of toughness and vocal and, you know, versatile, just do whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. And regardless of my playing time, I'm going to do it really hard.
Yeah.
But they're not. And what he does, it's not necessarily contagious. Maybe Marcus Smart does it as well, but it's not necessarily contagious. So it just felt like this team was sort of working under like the possibility, like almost like a timer. Like at any second, it could just implode.
Right.
And it felt like it almost imploded or exploded, whichever one you want, after game three. They just happened to hit enough shots in that third quarter to remind themselves of who they were. And now they don't feel so terrible. But if they lose this series, there's going to be, I think, a significant fallout from this team. Right. I think if they lose this series, their peak as a core will have been last year's finals.
Yeah. Right. In game four, like just looking at kind of, you know, their fortunes changing a bit. Do you think that it's more like, you know, adjustments on Missoula's part or more that they like they found their ability to shoot the three? And, you know, how are you seeing just sort of that game four? Because I think for most people, I was just like, OK, so everybody's getting swept down in the conference.
Yeah.
Finals.
Yeah. Hey, honestly, if you look at NHL, too, it looked like it was going to be four sweeps all in the conference finals. But, right. You know, Boston came through. I just think it was a couple of things. Like, I think it's a little bit of human nature with the Heat. They haven't had this level of sustained success all season. They hadn't won five games in a row all season. And so, you know, not that they sort of got comfortable, but A, some of those shots were just not going to fall. B, you know, the Celtics are going to play a little bit harder. Defense would be a little bit more aggressive. And if you're not getting the sort of otherworldly game from Jimmy Butler, you can't make up for all that other stuff. And it's just going to look like another regular season game from them. And, you know, this is how the Celtics used that third quarter and just kind of went off. I think what you're afraid of, if you're Miami, is, I mean, I hate to say this because it sounds insulting. He's humbly one of the best basketball players in the world, but Jason Tatum, kind of a front runner of a scorer. Like, he needs sort of somebody else to sort of tip the scales for him, or maybe just one or two shots to go in, and then he can sort of get comfortable and really take over.
Right.
But after that, you know, second half that he had, that game that he had in what he feels like was, you know, probably a bounce back, I think he's probably going to potentially, especially at home, get into a rhythm. Like, you do not want to let him hit his first three. If you let him hit one or two of his first shots, he might be going for 50 against you. And so if I'm Miami, like, I've got to change my game plan a little bit more aggressively towards stopping Jason Tatum, especially when you saw, like, I don't know if Jaylen Brown's fingers are busted, but it doesn't seem like he can shoot right now.
Right.
Yeah. We talk about the myth of having figured it out. And that the thing that happened in the last, like, game that you saw is how things are going to keep happening. And I think I was a little bit susceptible to that after that game four. I was like, you know, if any team's coming back from 3-0 down, it would be a one or a two seed versus a eight seed that has high, like, 3-point shooting variability and, like, suddenly just gets hot. Like, that makes sense to me. But I also think that with somebody who is a streaky shooter, like, when that is your best player, the person that you least want them going against in a series would probably be Jimmy Butler, because I feel like he will find a way to get inside your head and, you know, win that battle.
Well, Jimmy will just get inside his own head. And that's what, like, I'm pretty sure on his phone is probably just a loop of Grant Williams blocking him.
Yeah.
Right.
Or, you know, it wasn't his game, but he doesn't seem in the slightest concerned that he's got to go to Boston, like, and win a game. He's done it twice this postseason. He did it in the regular season after coming off of an injury and telling everybody, I'm coming, Boston. And so I don't doubt that that's going to be there at least one more time in these three games. I'm pretty much predicting it's going to happen in this game five. But you're still going to get at least one more, like, Gabe Vincent explosion. You know, you're probably going to get a 5-3-point game from Max Strus. It's just too many, like you mentioned, the variables. Like, there are too many Heat variables now in this postseason where you just can't predict another three Boston Celtics wins. Like, you could have Kevin Love hit four threes in a quarter all of a sudden. You're just like, geez, what am I going to do? Like, that just happens to be, if they're playing well, especially a guy like Cody Martin, who now looks like the third best player, you know, in the series, he could, you know, go either way. And so I'm with you. Like, you just can't really predict. But I think based on this postseason, one of those is going to happen. And what we have seen is that Boston not good at home in the postseason and probably a little shaky in some close contests. So there's just no shot.
Well, luckily for the Heat, game five is in Boston. Yeah. So if that'll hold.
Luckily for everybody, man. I think LeBron broke that place, because in 2012, when he went in, because I remember, man, that place used to be tough to play. Now, like, look at the numbers. Like, these people are just going in and just saying, hey, it's just another place and we can go in and win even in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like there's something with how talented this team is and the expectations they go into every season and playoffs with. Like, when they start performing poorly and it's not entirely clear why, you can just, like, kind of hear the pain, the collective pain in the crowd. And then that has to be sensed by the players. Like, that has to hurt a little bit.
You remember in that game six in 2012, like, the crowd after the game was over, they knew it was over. Like, they just started chanting for the Celtics, you know, trying to give them that momentum going into game seven. Now they don't even try that. They're just like, whatever. We've seen this movie a million times. We're out of here.
All right. Let's take a break real quick, and then we'll come back to talk a little bit about the Western Conference before talking about a potential finals matchup right after this.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back. Got to talk about the Western Conference Finals.
Miles, I will not let you make the same mistake I was just talking about and look at the Lakers loss as a Lakers loss as much as it was a buzzsaw running into a team that I think, again, like, let's focus on who's winning and like what they're doing and how incredible it is. I feel like the Nuggets are playing, this might be recency bias, but I feel like they're playing as well as we've seen a team play in the last 5 years. Like, they are.
Wow.
I mean, the shot making is incredible. Like, I don't know. The passing, I'm kind of blown away by the Nuggets.
So is your 5 years in your head, does that include the last Kevin Durant year in Golden State?
I think it, since the KD in Golden State, this is the best, the highest level we've seen a team play at. And the Heat might go in and win in five. But
we're going to get to that later. potential preview there, because I mean, we already talked about how there's just no chance for Boston, right? I'm just going to keep saying that so that,
well, historically, if it does happen,
people have enough options to make fun of me with. but I haven't really thought about that because, like, I mean, it's really
well, they got to win the chip first, right?
They do, and then so I wonder, like, I think of like the Bucks when Giannis is rolling through the playoffs, sure. Like. Yeah, I guess it wasn't the team playing that well. It was more Giannis kind of carrying them. No, it has been pretty darn good. Like, it's funny how much better Jokic just keeps getting. Like,
yeah.
Just keep thinking he's been the same player, but he just keeps every single year.
And I'm like, for all, like, you know, you see fans like take shots at like his physical appearance or whatever. And like, this guy, really? The Lakers are going to do that? I'm like, are you watching him play? Like, we say this all the time about Joker. He plays uncle ball. Like, it feels like you're playing with your uncle in the driveway who doesn't have to try to embarrass you. He's like, oh, you thought, oh, behind my head. Dish it off over here. Oh, you're trying to guard this? Watch me throw it over my head from like 50 feet away. It's just, there's like an inevitability about it too, that even as a Laker fan, I was resigned to the fact I'm like, up, Jamal. I'm like, that's a three. Yep, then there it is. Yeah. It just felt like I could, even as much as confident or as much positivity or optimism I held as a fan, even as a Laker fan, there was just something that was so objectively clear to me watching. It was like, oh no, we don't play like this. This is like, this is championship material. And I'm, as much as I felt good about, you know, taking down the previous champion, it's just night and day. There's just such a gulf in quality at this point.
Well, let me ask you, because not that we are talking about the Lakers, we're still technically talking about the winning team, but I wanted to ask you how you thought Anthony Davis defended Jokic, because I mean, obviously they went to Hachimura there for a long time and had Anthony Davis helping some, but I think in terms of one-on-one, it's never going to matter who's actually defending him, right? If you don't actually give help.
Yeah, it did feel like that. And there are times where I felt it was definitely lacking. But again, I think it was just beyond all that, because prior to that, AD has been one of the most dominant defensive players. Like watching this playoff run, I was like, wow. In my mind, I was like, oh, okay, I like this going. Like, now we have something. But the reality smacked me right in my face. And it was like, it turns out it was not enough.
It would have worked well if he wasn't one of the best passers we've seen in the history of the game and with a bunch of shooters on his team.
Yeah.
Then it would.
Right. I was just about to say, Aaron Gordon's your worst shooter. And I don't know
and
how
he's pulling up.
You're not going to give him the Draymond treatment. Like, you're not going to leave him in the corner because he's going to hit one out of two of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we learned.
The two times when Jokic, like, he didn't win the series by hitting threes. But the sidearm three he hit over AD, where he just like kind of cranked it from the side and it was nothing but net. And then like that running backwards 1 foot three, that was that game three or four? I forget.
That was four. That was the clincher.
Absolute.
That was a dagger.
And then he pulled a coin out from behind AD's ear.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
That was.
And he made him a balloon animal.
Yeah, he made him a balloon animal.
It's like, what? He's like, happy birthday, son.
Shot clock at four. Jokic has to put it up. Falling away, puts it up. Bang! Nikola Jokic knocks it down. His foot was on the line. A two-pointer. What a shot.
So the answer is, essentially, you've got to outscore them, right? Like, if you're not going to have, if they're going to be surrounding Jokic with shooters and just playmakers, like Bruce Brown's a good playmaker, obviously Murray, then you're going to have to outscore them. And in doing that, you're probably going to have to try to tire Jokic or the whole team, right? And to make some sloppy mistakes. And this is where I see potential. And I don't know if we want to get into a potential matchup with Miami.
Yeah, let's do
or
it.
Or if we want to keep talking about these Nuggets.
I think we've made our point. The Nuggets are the team to talk. Although, again, I know many people love to, they love to see the vanquished Lakers, which I get. That's just the culture of the NBA fandom and stuff like that. But yeah, we can all agree that they were fantastic, and that's they deserve their flowers 100%.
And you don't want to talk about the possibility of LeBron retiring, right? Like, we're just going to skip right past that.
I mean, to me personally, I like the takes I've seen on Twitter. Why don't you go to USC, man? And go play with Bronny there.
Go play for a year. He's got 4 years of eligibility, man.
I mean, he made like 200 and like 300 million in image and likeness so far.
Yeah. Right. But no, I mean, I think when I saw that, I was like, no way. Like, surely that can't be. But at times I like I've said to Jack and like Jabari, like on our text threads watching the game, I'm like, he's looking hurt. He's looking like human, which is, you know, something we're not used to seeing. So that's definitely jarring. And maybe I'm avoiding it because, like, I just didn't want to accept seeing that. But yeah. I mean, he's come this far. But yeah, however he wants to end it, he's going to end it.
Yeah. I mean, he says in one breath that he's like still 95 or top 95th percentile or whatever that phrasing is, better than 95% of the players in the league. And then, you know, says maybe I want to retire. He's not guaranteed. He's going to have the most elaborate farewell tour ever.
Yeah.
He's going to have everything announced every step of the way.
Yeah, he will not go quiet into that good night of retirement. No. We definitely know that.
The one thing I will say about the Nuggets, though, in terms of, I don't think they can really beat themselves, but do you think Jamal Murray can still have one or two of those, like shooting them out of a game type of situations, because he does seem to always want to shoot his way out of a slump rather than just, you know, let somebody else get a couple looks.
Yeah. I mean, they are, to a lesser degree than the Celtics, they are pretty 3-point dependent, or at least he is as a scorer. So, I mean, if he's off, and he is a streaky player, but it just, yeah. All right. First crack of doubt in the Nuggets. I'm starting to see it. the only issue is that you're playing half the games in Denver, and so the idea of gassing them, like,
no, right,
and you're going to be gassed.
I would say, like, I didn't watch as closely as I thought I was watching, but like, I feel like you can work Jokic in the pick and rolls a lot more. Like, I think you can force a lot him defending, and like, look, Jimmy Butler, and I've been wondering why he does this because it drives me nuts. Like, thinking back even to last season or whenever they play the Sixers, he'll be, you know, switched on to Joel Embiid, will switch on to him, and that's the dude he decides to attack. I'm like, why? Why are you attacking the biggest
Robert Williams yesterday? Yeah.
But he's been doing that to Robert Williams the whole series.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why. And I don't think that he's looking ahead, clearly. But if I look ahead, I'm like, if that dude's taking Robert Williams whenever he wants, not whenever he wants, but on occasion, he's going to hunt Jokic down every time. And if the Nuggets want to just, you know, hedge and recover, do whatever else, then that might be a nightmare for them too, because Jokic doesn't really have great foot speed. I think they can be gotten with execution, like offensive execution. And that's why I thought LeBron, because he had AD as that weapon, would be able to out-execute them. It's just, you know, that just Nuggets had too much firepower.
Yeah.
I do think that Miami, with a lot of these things that they do, the deflections, it's not going to make all these passes as simple. You know, the charges that, you know, these driving kicks, you know, you might just run into Kyle Lowry and there goes that possession. So I think they can be bothered enough because, again, looking at that Lakers team, what was that roster by the end? Was it all the, like, the defensive? But was it Vanderbilt wasn't playing?
Right.
I mean, unless you're saying Hachimura is like that crazy defensive difference maker. Like, I mean, by the end, you're playing D'Angelo Russell, Lonnie Walker, and Tristan Thompson off your bench. So yeah. I don't know if that was the same caliber of defensive team that the Heat's giving you right now in the playoffs. So, and that's even with Anthony Davis. So, I mean, I think there's a lot to be sort of gained from a coaching advantage. No offense to Michael Malone, but a coaching advantage and a sort of toughness and effort advantage. Because, you know, like, no offense, but MPJ isn't, you know, giving you all the feisty defensive effort, like, unless he's hitting 8 threes in a row. So I think the Heat would still have something that Denver hasn't really seen yet.
Yeah, I think they've got something that everybody hasn't really seen, is what we're learning. Man, somebody is getting rich off of betting on the Heat. Somebody saw this coming into the playoffs. And was,
if,
like,
I was a bettor, like, I would just do that to all my preseason predictions. Now imagine where I'd be.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Big swings. Yeah.
Probably just praying, but still.
Right, right.
I mean, both teams kind of feel like teams of inevitability at this point, which is what makes for a good finals. Like, Miami just being able to turn it up when they want. Denver has just looked like the best team all season, and then the playoffs came around and they looked better with each round, I feel like. So that makes for an amazing finals. I'm super excited to see. I don't have a feel about this one. I didn't have a feel about, I might just have Denver blindness, because I didn't have a feel about Denver Lakers. I had a feel about Miami Celtics. I don't really have a feel about Miami Denver at this point.
It's, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen Miami Denver in the regular season, and it was ugly.
It was Denver.
It was pretty for Denver. It's ugly for Miami. But you know, after these three rounds, it's like you throw all that out the window anyway, because, you know, how seriously did they really take preparation for that one game?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's unstoppable force versus immovable object, which is always a good battle for any sports.
Yeah. Also, it does feel like playoff experience and having been there has been advantageous recently. So I feel like that gives Miami a bit of an advantage.
The guy that never really gets talked about but means so much is Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
And like, him going from, you know, DPOY, what, second place, Brooke Lopez? Second or third place, and having to figure out a way. And then, you know, Mitchell Robinson, who dominated the Cavs big men, he'd had to find a way to make sure that he didn't, you know, do too much while, again, still doing everything on the defensive end of the floor, switching on the perimeter, rebounding, et cetera. He picked up the rebounding game. I think the Clint Capella game in the play-in embarrassed him a little bit, and he just, his rebounding has gotten significantly better. And I wish I was saying this before game four, because he kind of, you know, didn't perform as well in game four, but he seemed to have figured out, you know, let me put the all-in effort, and I'm not going to concern myself too much with everybody telling me I need to score. Of course, I'm going to try, but it's not going to be my primary focus. And it seemed to have working well for him. And then you just got to picture him and you think, all right, he's doing way better than he was last year against the Celtics. And you know, those two guys are still there, Horford and Williams. And then he doesn't get a break. He's going to get Jokic in the next round. And right. He's going to be completely helpless when he's one-on-one in the post. And it's not even going to be an option, really, is for him to stay one-on-one. And so it's just a nightmare for him. Like, I have no idea how he is going to last through, you know, however many games playing heavy minutes, because I think he's just going to be exhausted.
Yeah. Gas. And that's, I mean, this
basketball analysis right there. He's going to be tired.
I mean, when I'm watching these guys, I'm like, they're running up and down the floor so much.
They're not tired.
How are they not tired? that's my take. I mean, the other thing, like, the Heat have really used the zone well. And I feel like the Nuggets feel zone proof. But then again, I mean, the Celtics seemed like they should have been zone proof a little bit.
I didn't go back and watch those games, but I'm pretty sure I remember the Heat working or trying that zone against Jokic and it not.
Yeah.
It's hard because he's like algorithmically always making the right decision with the ball.
Yeah. And everybody around him already naturally cuts and plays off of him because they've been doing it since they played with him. And so doing it against his own is easier. You got stationary people there. So yeah. For the most part.
Yeah.
No, it's like practice cones. Cool.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. And Izzy's going to be in the hot seat for the rapid fire round of questions after this.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of his stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back. Izzy, I know you've been on TV. You've done so many podcasts, so much media. This, what you are about to experience, is actually the fastest segment in media history, any format.
Even ones that have not been created yet.
Yes. Yeah. Heretofore and so forth. If you had a hat on your head, it would be spinning around like a top. That's how fast this is. So Miles and I are going to be throwing questions at you. Your job is to just give us your answer, keep us on track, because we're not as fast as the segment is sometimes.
Yeah. So if we start dragging on with our answers, like, you got the media professionalism, be like, hey guys, come on, let's keep this going. This is the rapid fire round of questions.
We're wildly unprofessional.
It's not both a participant and the referee in this
exactly.
game.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. That's what makes this so unique. So again, hit you with the question, chest pass it right back. Quick responses. No thinking. You ready?
Oh, wait. I thought too much. Yes, I'm ready.
Here we go. Brian, start the clock. Okay. Jack, are you going to go first or should I go first?
Oh, I'd love for you to go first, Miles.
Okay, here we go. Izzy, what is your favorite NBA city to visit? And what is your must-have meal in that city?
Ooh, man. Probably San Francisco and
Rice Must
Rice Ghirardelli chocolate.
You know what? Rice Roni. Nice. That's my answer.
Yeah, the best.
No, for real. What's your favorite?
Just pull up to San Francisco. Go to Kroger. And
I forget the name of the rest. I think it's something simple as like Mama's or something, kitchen or bakery or something. But it's like this breakfast place that people stand outside in line for. And so I just love breakfast and I like, you know, a
one
good
of the
line.
Best meals. Yeah. What are you getting at the,
it's just
the
really well made breakfast food.
Okay.
Love breakfast food.
I love breakfast. Have
you had Courage Bagels in LA? Miles, have you had that?
I've had Courage Bagels. Yeah.
I just had that for the first time this weekend. I ate like 5 bagels at a child's birthday party. I was like boxing the kids out. I was like, no.
They're like,
let
Jack,
off
those
of
are,
me. I'm
those
starving.
Are for the kids. Back off. I'm starving. Oh, no.
All right. Izzy, first of all, you got to keep us more on track than that. Don't let me come in.
Yes, please, man. See, I'm not the best with the speed of these questions. Like, I try to think about it and maybe not have something on top of my head, but I'll try harder.
All right. We're talking teams that we want to cover in the offseason, you know, that people might not be paying attention to, but just like previewing them. I think so far we've discussed the Spurs. Shoo-in. OKC, shoo-in. What's a team that you're expecting is going to be interesting to watch next season that, you know, people might not have their eye on?
Orlando Magic. Be passing the ball to you. I don't know if you noticed that.
Wow. Well, what is it about Orlando?
man, this is the slowest game ever. First of all, I really hope they draft Ausar Thompson. Because I think he's going to be really good, as will his twin brother, Amen Thompson. But in today's NBA, front court, maybe 2-4 combo of Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, and Ausar Thompson would be absolutely, like, it would be great for somebody like Eric Spoelstra, for example. So many options, so many things to do with that trio. They have everything, except Banchero, probably not as great a shooter. Thompson, going to be a good enough shooter. He's actually really good shooting the ball right now. And everything else that they can do and their approach to the game, like, I think that's going to be a really fun group. And even somebody like Markel Fultz, who's not really required to do as much, he's having a lot of fun over there. And if you give him more talent around him, he's going to be, you know, even better. He's fun to watch. And so I think Orlando, and it's not just a Florida bias, because I'm not a huge fan of Florida right now.
Okay.
As a Sixers fan, I've never heard of this Markel Fultz fellow that you're talking about, but he sounds like
I know not of this man.
By the way, the restaurant or his Mama's shooting on Washington Square. That's
there it is.
There it is.
That's what I
love that. We got to keep this segment moving.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. I got to ask you this question now. You can go back and attend any single playoff game in NBA history. Any game. Which game are you choosing?
Do I know what's going to happen? Like, do I know the result?
It's a great philosophical question. Do we employ a memory wipe?
Wow.
So producer Jabari's coming through saying, yes, you are Biff Tanner in this scenario. You got supply.
You have the sports almanac.
I'm going to go ahead and say Kobe's 81. Especially now. I remember where I was, and I do not do that very often because, man, my memory's terrible long term. But I was at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino when I got a text. I forget who the text was from. See, somebody sent me a message that said Kobe has 70. And I said,
it was a fax.
Yeah. And I just stopped everything I was doing and just went to the middle bar and found one of the TVs that had the NBA TV on. And it wasn't the most entertaining of finishes. But I know if I was there, I think I would have had just a lot of fun watching that. Because it's that and it's Wilt. And so, I think that's probably my answer.
There are very few like flashbulb moments of like any pop culture in my lifetime, but Kobe getting 81, like I remember where I was when I found out that game was happening and like running to the TV, and LeBron going off against Detroit for that first time when it was like, oh, okay. So he is him. Right. I know the kids like to say that now, but he really is him. All right. Is there a single NBA player you would take right now over the chance of taking Wembanyama with the first pick this summer?
I would say, I don't know how many people you've asked this question, but I would say most people would lean toward taking the sure thing, right? So if I could switch that for, who is the youngest up and coming star? I probably don't want to get Jason Tatum, right? If I could trade it right now for Nikola Jokic, is that an option?
Yeah, Jokic is an option, and I feel like we haven't had anybody playoffs. We hadn't had anybody say Jokic, and I feel like he has played his way into that. Seems like the right answer, or at least a completely valid answer at this point. It's like, oh yeah, that probably makes sense,
right? Because really good. for everybody that thinks, oh, he's definitely going to get hurt, give his body type, like, you don't think the people around him who have been like nurturing him and taking care of him and wanting him to be this next great thing have not considered that possibility that maybe they should train him properly so that he doesn't get hurt, or there's technology to sort of predict these types of things and knowing what to train. Like, I think more than ever now, you can't really make that argument. Like, you can't really make that prediction anymore. Because even if he does have some sort of, like, nobody thinks Chet Holmgren's done, right? He's just, first year, got unlucky injury, whatever. He'll be fine. I don't think you can predict injury with him. And in the NBA, with the way it protects its offensive players now, like, what are you going to do against him if he rises up from distance? Like, you have to get entirely out of his way unless you can block that shot.
Yeah.
And so I think he just provides too many possibilities, and we've seen too much of an evolution of the game. Like, Giannis, if we redraft, he's number one in that season in 2013. But I think even we don't know how good he can be. I think just his body type and his personality, probably from an interview, gets him drafted in the top 15 this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think anybody's passing up that possibility just because it's so unique. And, even with a guy like Jokic, you just don't know. He could get hurt anytime too.
Yeah. People talk about like his size and health, and they're like, look what happened to like Ralph Sampson and Sam Bowie and like guys who are over 7'2", I think. But those guys played in penny loafers. That few people realize that's what you played in back then. It was penny loafers or tap shoes. That's where the technology was at the time. So there's not much you can do. It's a different game. That's a very good point.
Tap shoes. That'd be great.
Izzy, you're a South Florida native. I got to ask you, rank these three Miami musicians from number one to number three. DJ Khaled, Gloria Estefan, Pitbull.
Oh, man. Okay. Just by my taste.
Yeah, that's
I'm going to go Gloria Estefan third. And, she's been... I've spoken to Gloria and her husband. Very nice people. Love them. Fixtures in this city. made amazing music. I've just heard it my entire life. So probably clear.
Okay.
Second has to be Pitbull.
Okay. Mr. Thrill Worldwide
now.
Mm-hmm.
He is such a great story, but I just like DJ Khaled's music better.
Yeah.
And DJ Khaled also was in my podcast, 4 Years of Heat.
No
the connection
why I'm picking him.
Right.
I mean, come on. Like the bangers that he's made, whether producing or even rapping on them, just you could listen to him anytime.
Okay.
And also, I think we have to add a Cool Ranch Pizzadilla to the DJ Khaled, the Papa John's Pizzadilla.
It's the Papadilla.
My bad.
Yes.
But yeah, that's another hit from another one.
Oh, that is another one. Indeed.
All right. And finally, the question we ask all our guests, Jack or Miles? To refresh your memory, I'm Jack.
I'm just trying to think of who I like better.
I'm Miles.
Oh, good.
That's Jack.
Good. Usually people are like, oh, I can't pick, but I like that you're telling us it's who you like better. Cool.
Yeah. I'm going to say Miles. I feel like he needs the love right now because his Lakers just got swept.
Uh-huh. I'll take that.
Oh, that's cool. I should have mentioned I'm a Sixers fan, but...
You did already. Let me have this one, Jack.
That makes my pick way more solid.
We're fine in Philly. We're fine.
thank you so much,
Izzy. What a pleasure having
you
up until
the last 15 seconds.
Yeah. Tell us about the podcast real quick.
Yeah, 4 Years of Heat. It takes you through the 4 years that LeBron came here and blessed this town and turned them into a legitimate sports town and won a couple championships. There's a lot of good stuff in there. It's not even just for Heat fans, like Maverick stuff, Spurs stuff, Bulls,
right.
Pacers. It's all great. It's been so much fun going through it all and thinking back like on how just pure of a competition that was and how much people loved that era. It's been a ton of fun and it's going to be a fun listen. So check it out. We're dropping an episode every week. This Tuesday was our first episode. The next one will be next Tuesday. There'll be a couple of weeks where there's two episodes dropped, but it comes out at the same time as the 10-year anniversary of Ray Allen's shot where he saved the Heat season in 2013.
And you've got new interviews, right, with Ray and like,
new interviews
I think
with
Shane
Ray,
Battier.
With a bunch of guys, Shane Battier, Mario Chalmers, Joakim Noah, Brendan Haywood, Matt Bonner, Boris Diaw joined me from France. It's been a lot of good, Rachel Nichols, Dan Lebatard. A lot of great
DJ
great
Khaled.
Voices. DJ Khaled is in there every episode. So, yeah.
If you liked The Last Dance, but were like, where's DJ Khaled during this?
Right.
This
if you liked The Last Dance, but you didn't like all the moving pictures on your TV, this is the medium
is the
for
one.
You.
There it is.
And where else can people find you and follow you and all that kind of stuff?
In terms of social, Iz Gutierrez on Twitter or Mr. Iz Gutierrez on Instagram. And you can see me on ESPN, Around the Horn, Debatable, all those shows. Catch my work on ESPN.com, CJ McCollum podcast, whenever that comes back around. ESPN Daily at the moment. Who knows how long I'm going to be doing that for, maybe a long time. So yeah, you could probably find me anywhere.
Cool.
There you go.
All right. Well, you can find us at Mad Boosties on Twitter, BOOSTIES. And man, we got to give a shout out to our Boosties listeners of the week. Once again, Aaron McCarthy wanted to make sure to thank me for acknowledging the LeBron aging talk being disturbing. As a 38-year-old person who graduated high school in the year 2003, tired of hearing people like, he's 38. Yeah, that's fine.
As a 45-year-old, I am in complete agreement with you.
Yeah, come
he's
on now. Like, let that happen. Like, what are you talking about? Let him live. And also... shout out to Zeitgeist listener, The Real Mad Max, for giving the show a listen for the first time due to the Wembanyama conversation. So we always appreciate the love from the other listeners as well. Until next time, I'll be Miles. That'll be Jack.
Oh, no,
here,
you did.
All right, how's it this? We'll nail it this time. Until next time, I'll be Jack. Oh, no, I'm not. Oh, hold on, let me just. Okay. I'll be Miles.
And I'll be Jack.
Yes.
And this is Matt Boosties.
The Matt Boosties. All right. Thank y'all. We'll see you next week. Later.
Nailed it.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.